Hey everyone, welcome to the 7500 Holtcast. I'm Jack Grimsey, and Robert's out of town again, so James Rushton quickly becoming a regular.
Yeah, getting used to it now. Oh, no chip off my foot, no water off my back, is it? Stepping in for Robert when he's on his holiday. So yeah, back again.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously we'd all prefer to be playing golf in Hawaii, but
Yeah,
can't be
that's for
like
sure.
Robert.
Nah, you can't have some days off for golfing in Hawaii, taking snapshots of paradise. Whereas I'll be at Villa Park, what will
Yeah,
seem probably be a rainy Boxing Day.
it's the Premier League. There's no winter break. It's not like Spain or even Germany or France,
Nah,
but
just carries on. In a way, it's stupid, but in a way, it's amazing. In the same way, it's sense it's amazing. There's just so much football, and it's just a real spam of matches going on.
yeah, and what, Villa gonna have 3 matches in just 6 days?
Yeah, and but I mean, after 6 days, maybe if they win them all, it's a complete turnaround in such a short space of time. You're like, hang on, season's back on, it's kicking off.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you get into a really good spot of form right now, it's the perfect time to do it. I mean, you can maintain your great form and you only have to do it for a week and you could come away with 9 points.
Yeah, and I mean, following the game against Newcastle, got a bit of a bit of a bright start. I'm certainly glad that we finished it with a bright spell rather than starting off well and ending badly, because that brings us to our next match now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it like you're saying, it could have been a lot worse. Start of the game, it was just the pitch was drenched. It was a
Yeah.
swamp. And I don't know, I thought Villa made an okay start to the game. There were questions about the formation because it was just four central midfielders and
Yeah.
chucked in there.
I mean, it definitely worked. It hindered us later when we couldn't bring, Adama or Grealish on. We didn't really have anywhere to put them. That would, help us. We'd have to take off Rudy or Ayew, who were pretty much playing the socks off. In other words as well, when this game was announced to be the late game, the prime time game where everyone can watch and it's the only one on, everyone was going, why have they chosen Newcastle and Villa? And I think everyone might leave a bit surprised seeing the conditions. It was like, I hate the cliche, but it was like a proper football match. Tactics went out the window at a certain part, and it was all about just the football on display. But yeah, glad to see Villa change things and actually get something positive. A loss would have been crushing to them. They wouldn't have recovered from it.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're saying, with getting a draw, getting a point, it keeps Villa still in the hunt, and mostly just because it doesn't kill the confidence of the team. You know, it's already very low. It could have been shattered if you throw away a late goal, if you underhit a
Yeah.
pass and it just stops on because
Yeah,
anything can
exactly.
happen on that pitch.
Confidence is key. Down the bottom and at the top of the table, you see teams like Manchester United that don't, they line up pretty tactically sound, but it's all about confidence when you're on the pitch. They tested Leicester, no discredit to Leicester, but tactically they're pretty simple. It's fast and it's raw attacking, but the confidence of the team, boosts that. It's like a multiplier, like a score multiplier in a video game. Villa's confidence is rock bottom. They know they can't rely on certain players. They know they if they go a goal, then they know the narrative. But yeah, to see them bounce back from, terrible situation, down 1-0 at Newcastle away in terrible conditions, to get something from the match and actually put that team on the back foot is pretty good.
Yeah, and
Pretty
it
positive.
was a demoralizing goal to give away too. I mean, it
Yeah,
was
sloppy.
poor marking on the corner and then just barely squeezed by Guzan and just
Yeah, there's
it's,
no
you
way
can't
that
even
goal.
blame him for that.
Yeah, there's no way that goal should have went in. It bounced off Guzan's hands before it rolled in. He won't be marked in the first place, but there's a number of things that could have stopped it. Marking's one of them, but after the marking, you've got to rely on the goalkeeper. Yeah, and so, I mean, I'd like to point fingers and go, Les Scott should have been marking, Okoro should have been marking in. But at the end of the day, loads of things combined, it's going to happen. And you've just got to take it on your chin and bounce back, and that's what Villa did.
Yeah, another blow was when Papa Cisse went off because
Yeah, it
he
is.
didn't look up for it at all.
No, funnily enough, we do go to those cliches, foreign players, they have the grit, or the stomach for it. And that's one thing we were talking about, Ayew. And it's funny to see this complete juxtaposition of Ayew, just really, when he scored this amazing goal, like probably our goal of the season, just turns around, no celebrating, back to the middle. You know, his job's not done.
Yeah, that's what I actually said to Robert. I was like, did you see the Ayew goal? And he's like, no, was it good? I was like, yeah, it'll probably be your goal of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy just jogs to the middle and goes, yeah, game's not over.
No, he's like, I want to get another one. Come on.
Yeah, fantastic from him. He's quickly becoming my favourite Villa player for the last few years, actually. No one comes close to him. Amazing.
Yeah, it sucks if we're going to go down that he's going to be a player that we'll lose for sure. I mean, at least maybe we'll get 15 or 20 million for him if he keeps this form up.
I mean, he's a luxury player at the end of the day, isn't he? He's got great technical ability. And he seems to be able to score a goal from anywhere. His positioning, he always knows where the goal is.
He always looks to take someone on.
Yeah, exactly. And if we go down, it's a shame because he genuinely does not want that to happen. It's not like he's looking for a payday. I mean, it seemed like when he had the little spat with his old team before moving to Villa, that he may be worrying about it, but he just seems like, nah, this team aren't going down when I'm in it. That's all I could ask, and I hope that's that Mark Richards attitude we was talking about a few days ago, where, the team's not going to go down on his watch. Now another player seems like that, and hopefully that attitude can spread a little bit.
I think so, and that's like with guard just saying we have to work harder, we have to do this, I think that is they'll chase everything down because
I mean, seeing it during the Newcastle match, you saw a lot of, and as I said, I don't like just determining things by effort or passion. We all go into a bit of passion, you can't measure a player's passion on their ability, but they did seem like something clicked mentally for almost every single player, especially Ayew and Gusted. I wouldn't want to see them out of the team, hopefully, now going forward, because they're linked well. Yeah.
I think for sure you stick with two strikers going forward because Rudy Gusted came on for 30 minutes and he was great.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate he didn't score a goal. A lot of people point the finger at him, but he always went for it and got it on target. That's all I can ask. If you get it on target, that's all you can ask.
Yeah, his header, I guess, it was on target, it was saved. I mean, it was probably never going in, but he got into a really difficult position just to get to the ball and then putting it on frame to earn a corner,
Exactly.
Showing signs.
And it's good because it's like we've become over-reliant on players like Scott Sinclair and, people like Alan Hutton, where we've let them pass on them. And with people like Rudy and even Veretout and Sanchez, we always point fingers and go, hang on, these players aren't performing, they haven't got experience of the Premier League, But when you take Scott Sinclair off and Rudy Gusev comes on, the whole game changes. You're like, what? is this a formula all along that we should have had? So, Remy is definitely still finding his best team. And hopefully he'll click in the next few games and we can get something going, because now, more than ever, we're going to need it.
Yeah, and I guess getting back to the Gusted substitution, only one substitute was used. I know that was a topic of complaint for a lot of people, but I've seen it said that it takes time to get used to the pitch, whatever. You don't want someone to come on and make a mistake. But
hindsight, as I say, hindsight's the best thing. If Adama came on, got his soul stuck in the floor and twisted his ankle and he's out, why would you want that? I mean, sod thought it's not going to happen, he's going to come on. But I mean, if something comes out and something drastic happens that really affects our season, you don't want to throw it in a way in a match where we've got a point, we're on the front foot. Adama coming on would have changed the match offensively, but I'm not certain you'd want him because people were dying, he would change the game. But what happens if he loses the ball and they break? It happens.
He would have changed the game one way or another. We would have ended up with a win or a loss because who are you going to place if you replace Ashley Westwood, who was really doing a lot of work on the right, and they had just brought on Florian Thauvin. So if, you lose the ball, you get tackled and give it away. He was doing well on the left, and, maybe that results in a goal for them.
Yeah, people use that to discredit Remy. They say, he's clearly, not got it in him to make a substitution. Maybe he should have used one. But I think it takes a lot more willpower to not tap into that emotional, feeling of, I'll bring him on and we'll take this match. I think it takes something to step away from that and go, hang on, if we walk away here with something, that's a big result. regardless, we should have lost this match.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I just brought up substitutions because over the next few games, you're going to have to use probably two subs at the hour mark.
I mean, we know from writing stuff that we do for the site that we've only got a day between two matches, two critical matches.
Yeah.
So, of course, substitutions are going to have to be used, and maybe it was for the best that nothing happened in the Newcastle match. Why risk something? I mean, especially if you got these two, because Adama will definitely have to play a part in one of these matches.
Yeah, Adama, Grealish as well. Both of them haven't been back in the team, and even Carlos Hill.
Yeah, we'll certainly have to see something. We'll certainly see some kind of rotation. We can't rely on the same players in these two matches. Maybe strikers can stay the same. Ayew and Gested, pretty much locks for them both. But the midfield players will have to do most of the work. They're not going to have the energy come the 28th.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the dream situation would be being up two goals at about an hour so you could switch a striker off just to rest him for the next game. But, you know, that's not what it's going to be for Villa.
No. And this is a situation where players like, Jordan Lydon and Gary Gardner will prove their worth. People we can bring on to have a bit more of a defensive impact because, you know, most of our substitutes are attack-minded players like Hill, Grealish, Adama, and even Kozak. You know, if he comes on, he's not a defender.
Yeah.
He's a striker.
Maybe we're going to end up seeing now a little more Crespo, a little more little of Thiago Lloris, and, you know, I guess we won't get Sissoko until January 1st, so we could be in for Sunderland.
Yeah, I mean, that's an instant upgrade, isn't it? You've got a defensive-minded left-back, and that's exactly what we need.
At that point, too, it frees up Richardson as a substitute because a lot of different places, you know, it's just a useful guy to have on the bench.
Kieran Richardson.
If we don't want him starting.
We've only seen Kieran Richardson in his weakest positions. We've never seen him as a central midfielder that he usually is, diving forward. You know, very rarely. He's mostly been a left-back for Aston Villa, which you've got to think is an absolute disgrace for someone like that. You know, he's put in a position he rarely plays, and he's expected to do the world for us. But yeah, hopefully going forward we'll be able to better utilise the players we've got, because I certainly think we've got a good bunch here. And we did blame the transfers at the start of the season for our current position, but now I'm thinking they're getting it together. These, you know, you can't blame every single result on these guys.
No, definitely not. But and really, some more transfer rumors today, I guess, just go over those briefly. I saw Gökhan Inler from Leicester City. He's been mentioned. He's just not getting into the team at Leicester.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, you want those type of technical midfield players. Definitely. You want chances created because we've had to rely on our strikers to make their own chances.
And I guess then to get into Twitter questions, because this ties into that. From Adam at It's Adamantium, Loic Remy, realistic. And that's a player I wanted us to bring in over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, any players, you know, outside of these world-class players, they are realistic. And, you know, we've been linked with not just Loic Remy, but Steve Mandanda and Jeremy Tulalan. And, you know, Mandanda and Tulalan, 5 years ago, these were looking at world, you know, three or four years ago, these were like players you put in that world-class bracket. You know, these players have been scouted by Liverpool, Arsenal, and that team's bigger and better than them, Barcelona and Real Madrid. So if Villa can get those two, as well as Loic Remy, you know, they're in for something there, surely.
Yeah, exactly. And Mandanda's still France's number two. Tulalan is getting a bit old. He's 32, but, you know, who cares if with what
who cares? He doesn't have to break his legs every match. We just need someone to take care of the ball in Carlos Santos' position. Someone to look after it and get it away. No, he doesn't need to run at breakneck speed. But yeah, I mean, Loic Remy's realistic. It's more realistic concerning some of us we've been linked to. I mean, Charlie Austin doesn't seem like a realistic option anymore.
No, I don't think so either, because I guess he said I'd consider going to a top Premier League club. Someone quote tweeted it. Well, that means Villa, not Villa.
You gotta remember, Loic Remy played most of his football at QPR and Newcastle, and these are the bottom feeding clubs like Villa. So, you know, he's not of our grasp at all, especially on the loan deal.
Yeah, exactly. I think a loan deal for a striker like Remy, that really probably a perfect scenario, I guess, and maybe a loan to buy.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, there's not many transfers that Villa would aim for that would be out of their grasp anyway. They've certainly got a bit of money to chuck around if they continue their clear out. They're definitely in a desperate position where they need to fire cash at some kind to join. So, yeah, they'll have a bit more stuff to chuck around than teams maybe like Southampton and Swansea. So I think it may be a bit more of an attractive proposition because we can definitely offer the football they want to play.
Yeah, certainly. Next one from Good Opinion Man, Rock Strongo. With a congested fixture list, do you think guys like Kozak might finally find their way into the squad? And it's still tough about Kozak, yeah. But it's now or never, you know, if we're going to see him.
Yeah. I've got to say, like, I don't think he's playing. I think it's been agreed between him and the manager that he's going to get sold. There'd be no other reason not to play him. They clearly want to recoup something, and he clearly doesn't fit into the picture. It is a shame, but, you know, it happens to a lot of players. It might happen to Carlos Hill, as rumour suggests. So I can't, I mean, if he does, that's a good sign, but I can't see him. If he's not started that before, then why are we going to chuck him in the squad at the deep end when we're in trouble?
Yeah. And another one along the same lines from Clay Jackson at AG Clay Jackson. We need more Adama, right? Dude is a freak and electric on the pitch. And
nah, we do.
Yeah. But pretty much settled. we both have the exact same opinion. Let's see.
We don't need Scott Sinclair's just not doing it for us. Gabby wasn't, so we put Scott Sinclair in. He's not doing it, so yeah, why not? Chuck Adama in, put him on left or right, make him do something.
You can play him up front and just try to play the ball over, and you know, he could do what Gabby tries to do, but I think he's faster than Gabby now.
It is good. There's definitely room for him to come on as a substitute or even start some of these matches. I mean, I do understand Remy doesn't want to start youngsters because, you know, chucking them at, you know, into the deep end doesn't always come up with the best results. I mean, Adama certainly had a good run against Arsenal when he came and weaved through the defence and almost scored. But if he just starts doing that every single time and doesn't pass the ball and doesn't keep his head up and look up for the people coming in, it's going to make it's not going to improve his appearance in the eyes of the fans and the players.
Yeah, his teammates really. If he's being greedy all the time, then, you know, they're going to end up not passing the ball so much. And
yeah, exactly. You don't want any friction at all. So I understand what Remy's doing. And it doesn't always seem like the best choice, but certainly he's got no more than us.
But certainly Adama's going to get some chances either way in these next few games.
Yeah.
Starting 11 are coming off.
As with Kozak, it'll perfectly describe what his future will be at Villa. If he starts, he's definitely got a place with us going forward and maybe even a starting role. But yeah, I'd like to see a bit more from him in the future. Hopefully it's not just that one-trick pony where he just runs and runs and hope something happens.
Yeah, I mean, he bundled in some sloppy goals always, but at least he was still getting the ball in the back of the net. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'd like to see him start. I know, obviously, if I was a manager, I'd start him. I'm not the manager, unfortunately. We've got gentleman Remy Gard, and he knows best. If he's not starting, there's got to be a reason, and I'll stick with him on that.
All right, and then from Will at WGB 1186, would you rather Villa be relegated by March or make a go and break our hearts at the end of May? And, you know, that's hard, and, I mean, it would be such a Villa thing to do, to play like a top five side for the rest of the year and still end up going down.
Yeah, I've had this like recurring, like not nightmare, but daydream where like I'm thinking Villa are seriously in a position where they could do well and be, you know, 18th on equal points with the 17th place team going into the last day of the season. And you know it's going to be Newcastle or Bournemouth or someone we're playing in that final stretch. And it's always like getting sent down in one of those games. It'll be heartbreaking because we were so close. You know, if we go down in March, I wouldn't want to say that, but at least you don't have that, you know, that horrible feeling. What if you think, oh God, you know, if a penalty decision or, you know, a missed, an offside goal is disallowed, you'll be thinking about that for all the summer.
at least, you know, like it's just such a small margin for error at this point. But
that question, it doesn't sound like a hard one, but when you get into the meat of it, I mean, I've got to say, I'd rather it break our hearts because I'd like to see us get out of this situation. And I mean, that's the only way, isn't it? If we try.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that we're down right now. I have for the last month, really, because it's been so dire. But, you know, you gotta hope Villa can dig out of it and at least have some fun on the way.
Yeah, you got to just enjoy it. There's no point following it if you don't enjoy it, is there? So really, and I mean, regardless of what happens, I'm sure we'll all find a way to enjoy it one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't enjoy going down, but along the way, stuff's going to happen. We'll have goals like Ayew's goal and moments where we think, oh, wow, we're never playing football. At least if we go down and we tried, we can say we tried. We didn't just sit at 20th and resign ourselves.
Yeah, but exactly.
Then again, you don't want to go through all that stress.
Yeah, just thinking the whole like final week, all right, we need to win by 3 goals and Newcastle will have to lose by 12.
Yeah, it would be horrible. But Villa, I'm 7 points right now. They've got 3 games coming up and their fixtures through to March look like they can get, if they try, they can get a result out of them. And the hardest one we seem to have are Liverpool and Everton. You know, if we've gone for it, there's no reason why we can't get those 10 wins that we're aiming for. But, you know, as I said, things are looking bleak and we'll see after the Sunderland game, we'll certainly know where we are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that will be the decision day, really.
If we don't pick up another 7 points out of these 3 matches, we're looking pretty done, to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah. Then is it even worth it to buy in January? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean,
you're cooked.
Yeah, as I said, we've got to go for it. I mean, even if we can scrape something, you know, it's still a base to go off. Wins are going to have to come from somewhere, even if they're all against the teams that should beat us, like Man United and Arsenal. You know, if we lose against West Ham but win against Man United, I'll take that trade.
Yeah, exactly. If you, swap in an expected win for an unexpected one, I guess. But, yeah, that was Twitter questions, so thanks to everyone who sent those in. Always great to have that.
Pretty depressing, actually.
Let's see. Yeah, so we got 2 matches that we'll have before our next episode.
Yep.
West Ham, as well as Norwich. West Ham on Boxing Day at home. Norwich will be away.
Yeah.
On the 28th. So let's start with West Ham. They're in 8th with 25 points and a solid +4 goal difference.
Yeah. The pressure's on West Ham. They need to keep up wins. I see a lot of West Ham fans saying their goal is to not get relegated before the stadium move. But that's not going to be the goal of the managers or players. They want to compete for Europe. They want to aim a bit higher. So if they want to aim a bit higher, they're going to have to beat Villa at home, a Villa team that will be looking for a win. And a home crowd that will be looking to buoy them to that win. So the pressure's on West Ham, really. I can see Villa coming out with this one with a sneaky win, maybe a 2-1 win.
Yeah, and West Ham, they made a really hot start to the year. They won 6 out of 10 games, just right off the bat. Put them in, they're right in all the way right now, still in 8th. But
they've
drawn their 5 of their last 6, and their last 3 matches have all been goalless draws.
Yeah, as I said, Villa need 7 points out of these, hopefully 9. But 7 is still a good coming out of these matches with 7 would still be amazing for us. That puts us on 14, and suddenly we're looking a bit more. There's a heartbeat there, suddenly we're looking a lot more healthy. The draw against West Ham still puts us in line for that. So I don't see any reason why we'd be disappointed with a draw, especially if we're in a losing position.
Especially if we play well in the draw, like you're saying.
I mean, if we play well in the draw against West Ham, a team who we would expect to beat us, based on just form alone, and player ability and the position in the table, and we can certainly go to Norwich and Sunderland, on a high where we come out of 2 games where we should have got battered and got something from them. So hopes are high for the West Ham game. Comes the day after Christmas, and it'd be, I know it's a cliche again, but it'd be the perfect present, wouldn't it, really, to come out of West Ham with a win.
And somewhat hilariously, I guess, if you have a sadistic point of view, that Villa had was at Villa Park was against West Ham. That was in May.
Oh God!
That was a cleverly one goal for him. Did it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, things like this repeat themselves, don't they? I can say, I can certainly see Villa getting a scrappy win. Like I said, 2-1, 1-0. I can certainly see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, well, it'll be interesting to see the team just because of the rotation that's going to have to occur over the next week. But like we said earlier, I think you've got to go with Ayew and Justed up front.
Yeah. I mean, Richards will be back, fingers crossed, because he adds a lot more bite to our defence. I'm pretty sure he'll be playing up with the core unless he's moved to right back, but I don't think that happens. In all honesty, Alan Hutton's not playing too badly, so I don't see why you'd just change the defence just for that small change. There's not much more Richards can offer at right back.
No, especially not coming back off an injury. If he was he's fully fit, then use his energy.
Even in this game where you want to come out with something, you don't want to experiment at the back. You want it to keep it strong. So Richards coming back will be a massive boost because the core is playing well. Left back's a bit stronger than it was, and right back look pretty secure. So keep it strong at the middle. I wouldn't know what to say what we'd do on midfield, to be honest. I mean,
yeah, because if you use all four of your central midfielders and then you have a game 2 days later, I don't know what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, maybe they'll go back to using the wingers, Sinclair, maybe hopefully Adama starting. But then that leaves them a bit weak in the middle. We've had a very strong display with four midfielders.
Yeah, I mean, you could, because I guess that formation was a little like a 4-3-1-2 with Veretout behind the two, and you could try to put Carlos Heal into that role maybe if you're, and you could save a midfielder on the bench. But
yeah, I don't see one. You can't switch around Gana, Veretout, and Westwood in that either side. The midfield, because Carlos Sanchez, even though he's playing badly, he's pretty much got that holding midfield role locked down.
Yeah, unless you want to try Kieran Clark back there, which we haven't seen in the couple of years.
Yeah, maybe. With the midfield, it'll be interchangeable, won't it? We can't really guess because that change pretty much came out of nowhere. We don't know if we'll revert that. I'd like to say we'd go with the same setup, maybe if. Westwood or Gana switched with Veretout and Hill up a bit higher supporting the attack. But yeah, hopefully gets a chance.
Save the legs, I think, you know, because it's gonna be a lot of running over the next week.
Because we were certainly playing the start of the Newcastle matchup, like we had Gisted up front and we could cross to him, and if he was there, I'd like to say he would have gone the end of some of those crosses and converted a chance. But when he came on, you know, we actually played, like we had someone in the middle. Hopefully we can start off the match on the right foot this time.
Yeah, and that would be weird, but it would be a nice change.
Exactly.
And yeah, like you were saying, it would be a perfect Christmas gift, really, but still hoping, I guess, Santa comes a day late, maybe. And
you know what, before I had my season ticket, my mum had a tradition of going down to Villa Park on the Boxing Day match because, you know, come after Christmas. And, you know, it's been terrible. We got beat by Wigan on the 28th of December, then Swansea the year after. You know, I've never seen them win on Boxing Day, to be completely honest, when I went down. So I'm kind of dreading it because, you know, what I know is loss and draws. I've never, like, you know, honestly, Jack, if you go, and I went to like one Villa match a year and it's been a loss on Boxing Day, it's kind of what I come to expect, regardless if Villa are doing good or bad. I'd like to see them win, definitely. I wouldn't be too upset with a draw, but as you said, Santa coming out on Boxing Day certainly gives us much to smile about with a Villa win. It was all something to smile about.
Well, it's kind of been an opposite year, so hopefully.
Fingers crossed in that respect.
Yeah, so I guess let's go to Norwich. It'll just be 2 days later, Monday.
Yeah, terrible. Isn't
Monday, Monday afternoon.
One day break.
Yeah.
Seem to have the same conversation every year. The players will be too tired. You know, we always got through it. we'll definitely see some changes, and we'll definitely see two shattered teams, two tired, but maybe terrible teams. It may be reflected in the Newcastle match in a lot of ways. I've watched a lot of Norwich this year, and aside from the result, the fantastic result they got against Man United the other day.
Yeah, Cameron Jerome scored against Manchester United.
Yeah, he's really been trying to make a name for himself at Norwich. But their football hasn't been good. Aston Villa, their position isn't reflected by the fact they've played good. They've played well enough to get by.
Yeah, they've been plucky. They have 17 points in 16 games. They've picked their moments well, I guess.
Definitely.
Very limited supply of goals.
Yeah, and they're true. It'll be a true test against Villa, because this Villa team have got nothing to lose anymore. You know, if they lose against West Ham or draw, that's it. They're just going to play for football, natural football, and with no pressure. And that's the way they kind of come out against Newcastle in the second half. And if they come out with that mindset, you know, this match doesn't matter. We can just, if we play our game, you know, we'll win. If we just act like this is just a one-off match, we'll win. If they can just take the game to Norwich away, it's certainly, I really can't see us losing that match. We've been terrible, but there's got to be a time when you just turn it around. And you always have the joke, you know, Norwich have been our team. We always pick points up off, especially under Lambert. But yeah, there's no reason we can't go there and take some points off them.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there was one game that you want to have Lambert for, it's this one. But
yeah, bring him in.
I just can't, you know, maybe it's just because we do always beat them, but I just can't see us losing to Norwich. Like, just,
no.
You know, we're terrible, but they're still, in my mind, they're still worse.
Yeah, I mean, the team, they've got good players, but they're not. And it seems stupid saying we're the bottom team, we are the worst team in the Premier League. We'll reiterate that fact. At 20th, we are the worst team in the Premier League, but Norwich don't have the same quality of players as us. You know, if we lose to them, that's crushing. And it was certainly, that might be the match that puts us down. If you know, we can't pick up something against West Ham, we'll have to look up and go, hey, we should have won against Norwich and would have been in a better position. So yeah, I can't see us losing this one. I wouldn't want to go for something like a 3-0 win, but something like 2-1, 2-0, definitely you can pick up some points there.
Yeah, obviously it doesn't really matter what the scoreline ends up being if it's a win, but if you could get another one of those 4-0s like a couple of years ago, that would be a huge boost to confidence.
Villa in this position.
Well, we still haven't scored more than 2 in a game all year, have we?
No. So no. It's got to come sometime, hasn't it? There's got to be a time when we score some goals, as I'd say. Norwich, as I said, I've seen them a fair bit this year, and I've not been too impressed. It's not like Bournemouth, where they can scrap a result. And they'll be versus this Villa team, where you literally don't know what they can do. We know that they're inconsistent. But having done a change against Newcastle, then they could really pull something out of the bag on Norwich and catch them completely unawares.
Yeah, that is a good point, too, is everyone coming in, all the other teams are like, so...
Yeah,
maybe they just switch off a little bit.
Especially coming in as a team higher than Villa, then they'd be like, yeah, we got this. You know, Villa, all they need to do is wake up one day and go, yeah. That's all. In all honesty, I think we're pretty tactically sound. We've been let down by individual errors. And it does seem to be a massive confidence thing. It's like mental, almost, as I've said in previous episodes of this podcast. But one day, hopefully... Before Norwich, I'll just wake up and they might snap on and they go, hang on, what have we been doing the last couple of months? We haven't been playing the same sport as these guys.
Come on,
yeah, I mean, as naive as it sounds, that might just be it. You know, when you woke up and when you have those embarrassing moments and you're like, God, why did I do that? Did you do when you're a kid? Hopefully that clicks in or something. Like,
okay.
honestly, it's like I'm trying not to offend Norwich fans by going off on these tangents, but I can't see us losing.
No, and I guess no disrespect to Norwich at all. They've done well to get to the Premier League the first time and now to get back, which is impressive. But
to be honest, they aren't Bournemouth, are they? They aren't this plucky team that plays well and it's a unit. they're in the same situation as us in Newcastle.
And yeah, they just collected a few more points.
Yeah. Premier League, the bottom half of the Premier League is still in dire straits, and if these teams are going to be deluding themselves, if Villa go down, there's still two other teams that have got to go with them. And that could be Southampton and West Brom for all we know.
Yeah, and Swansea not looking too hot either at the moment. You know, I think they're level on points with Norwich. And
so, yeah, if Villa are destined to go down, the pressure's still on a hell of a lot of other teams that aren't safe. As high as, you know, people are predicting pretty much Stoke if they don't, you know, kick on. They've been doing well, but people are saying, you know, this from 10th up downwards, you got to start looking at your points. Man. We need to pick up every single point we've got because it's congested down there. If you fall into that, you might not come out of it.
Yeah, because just look at the horrible run of form that Villa are on right now. One win in 17, and it was the first of those. But, you know, you could go 10 games winless. Look at the end of Newcastle's season last year.
Manchester United has 6 games without a win. Form is, you know, they were saying his form is temporary, and of course it is. These teams in good form, mid-table, will really want to kick it on. Because if Villa, as I said, if Villa are destined to go down, there's still two other teams out of these group that will make up the three teams that go down. That might not be Newcastle or Norwich. It could be Southampton and flipping West Brom. And they, yeah, it's all the joke that Villa are 20th. But they want to keep their eyes on this pack, and if Villa can snap out this form, other teams might not, and they might take their place.
Yeah, the Canaries not really in a position to be taunting Villa, like you're saying. Just gotta worry about yourself first.
Yeah, even Newcastle, they aren't exactly safe either.
Yeah, I mean, last week at the bar, we did get you're going down with the Villa to the Newcastle fans.
Yeah,
and one of them responded by saying you're going to a lower division, and we're like, yeah,
that's like a real insult.
You're going with us to the lower division. That's what we were just saying.
But yeah, Newcastle aren't exactly in a healthy position, are they? This Premier League season is going to be weird. And as a football fan, I'd love to see how it turns out. I've got another Premier League, but as a Villa fan, I'm pretty nervous. But we're in this position now where we can kind of accept that relegation is a high possibility, and we can kind of have fun of this, and you know, we can wear it as almost a badge of pride. Like, yeah, we're going down, but who's coming with us? He wants to join us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying by just condemning ourselves to relegation now. It's anything we do is a bonus from this point. Great.
Yeah, so going back to that question, maybe going down now, like I said, I thought it was not a good thing, but you know, anything is a bonus. We might be able to happy-go-lucky walk our way out of the relegation zone.
Yeah. But after the Norwich game, that is game 19 on the season, so that will be the halfway point.
Yeah. So on the 28th, we'll be officially at the halfway point.
Halfway relegated.
Yeah, and hopefully we have got 6 more points, so we should be on around 13 if everything goes well for the halfway point. And I can't see us, usually you'd double your tally, wouldn't you? You're on a halfway point now and say you're on 14, you'd expect to be on 28 by the end of the season. But I can't see this reform continuing for the second half. It can't be possible. We can't be that bad.
Yeah, we thought the goalless droughts of last year when the club had to cancel the goal of the month competition for September, we thought that was bad. And now
we haven't had one at all.
This has got to be the worst ever. And like you're saying.
We look at people at Fulham and we go, we didn't concede goal. When we weren't scoring, at least people weren't scoring against us with Lambert.
Yeah.
We're pretty solid defensive and we actually keep the ball. But yeah, hopefully it'd be fun going forward. Certainly people are going to be taking the mickey out of the fans and having fun with the fact we're going down. But you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows for these other teams in the middle of the table. It's going to be dangerous. It's a slippy slope.
Yeah, I think that's all we got, but I just want to end it on a funny note. And there was a headline today that Alex McLeish saying Aston Villa should have replaced Benteke.
Yeah, well, what did he really? Buy Benteke? he also said he scouted him. And like, if he scouted him, why didn't he buy him? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who are we going to replace him with? Like, spend 40 million on someone?
Is this guy even in a job?
Like,
you have a job right now that you should be doing?
Working in Belgium, like, for not...
Genk.
He probably saw the tape that they had of Benteke when he was there, like, 2 years after he left, and he's like, who is this guy?
Yeah. I can't even remember Alex McLeish joining. It was just a dot. I didn't watch Villa that whole year, you know.
Stupid. How did that even happen? But since this will be going up tomorrow, Christmas Eve, want to wish everyone Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Yeah, enjoy it, and make sure that you find other areas of enjoyment rather than Aston Villa FC, because, you know, they might not make you smile over this festive period. But yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, try to enjoy your family, I guess.
Yeah, if you can't enjoy your family, just read a book, or, you know, there's films on, there's movies on, so
yeah,
enjoy that.
And remember, we'll have all the match day coverage for you, as always, at 7500 to hold on Twitter, 7500tohold.com. And facebook.com/7500hold, I guess. Yeah. That's probably what the link is.
Yeah, I hope so.
But, yeah, so we have all that for you. Remember, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Google Play on the Android store. Sorry we don't have a video episode this week, but maybe we'll resume normal service soon once Google lets me log in after not thinking my phone number is from Afghanistan. But
Yeah.
So anyways, thanks for listening to the Holtcast. For James Rushton, I'm Jack Grimsey, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon.